Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this day to worship you, to honor you, and to learn your word. We ask, Lord, that you would be present with us at this time of worship, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. You may have noticed that the sermon title today is I'm Tired. Well, that's kind of an odd title. Now, I have to tell you about one of our grandsons. We have 8 grandsons and 1 granddaughter. And the one that's kind of right in the middle, when he'd come to see us, whenever we'd see him, we'd say, "How are you, man?" And he'd say, "I'm tired." And I'd think, "Really, child? You can't say, 'I'm happy to see you, Grams,' or anything like that?" He'd say, "I'm tired. And I'm noisy." And I can understand, really, why he would say he was tired, because he runs track, he plays football, he plays soccer, and something else. And he's involved in 4-H, and shoots competitively on the 4-H team and on another team. So I can understand why he's tired, especially since he's 14. And I think that kind of goes with the territory. But what I want to talk today about is a different kind of tired. You see, I'm tired. I'm tired of listening to the news and hearing about another shooting. I'm tired of hearing about yet another life that's been taken through senseless violence. I'm tired of the blame game. I'm tired of people not taking responsibility for their actions. I'm tired of the lack of respect for others. I'm tired of the targeting of first responders who put their lives on the line every day to protect us. I'm tired of people thinking they're entitled to instant gratification. I'm tired of thinking that others owe them something. I'm tired of bullying wherever it occurs. I'm tired of infighting, name calling, bitterness. I'm tired of bias of any type. I'm tired of people not listening, of closing their minds to others' ideas. I'm tired of finger-pointing, political correctness, greed, animosity, hatred. I'm tired of our brothers and sisters in Christ being martyred for their faith. I'm tired of the divisions within the United Methodist Church. I'm tired of people throwing temper tantrums when they don't get their way. I'm tired. And I believe that God is tired too. Our scripture lesson today comes from Isaiah 1, starting from verse 1, and then verses 10 through 20. Isaiah gives us an opportunity to observe faithfulness in difficult times. The first verse of the book of Isaiah gives the setting for his amazing ministry. To get us started, we're going to just read the first verse, the opening verse of Isaiah, to introduce us to this amazing man. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah if you'd like to read along with me, or simply close your eyes and allow the words of scripture to wash over you and speak to your soul. I'm reading from the New International Version. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Isaiah lived in a nation that had lost sight of God and God's plan for their lives, a nation that was racing down the path of self-destruction, that was destroying the very fabric of their society. The first chapter of Isaiah is a summary of many of the main themes that Isaiah spoke on, again and again, warning the people, calling them back to God, to lives that made sense. He was a very creative and a very effective communicator, and he opens his message in the setting of a courtroom. God is the plaintiff, making his complaint against the people he created, the people of Judah. But he's not just filing a complaint, he's also offering a remedy. Only this isn't just any courtroom. He's also offering, this is a cosmic case, and the jurors are the heavens and the earth. Now, Isaiah spoke for God for about 50 years. He was probably born during the reign of King Uzziah. And those were mostly good times in Israel, or in Judah. Long before Isaiah had been born, the nation of Israel started falling away. And God told them how to live and that he would take care of them. Yet they chose to walk away from him. And their nation was divided. There was a civil war, and Israel split apart. The northern two-thirds was still called Israel, and they turned to other gods right away. Jerusalem was left in the southern kingdom, now called Judah, and they stayed loyal to God longer. When Uzziah became king, there was great hope. His father, King Amaziah, turned his heart away from the living God and became a terrible king. And the people revolted and killed him and put his son Uzziah on the throne when he was only 16 years old. He was faithful to God and cleaned the idols out of the temple. And God blessed Israel. It became strong. It became prosperous. Only Uzziah made just a tiny little mistake. He did everything so well that he became proud. And he decided that it was his due to go into the temple and offer one of the sacrifices to God that only the priests were allowed to do. And when he arrived at the temple, 80 priests tried to block his way and begged him not to do it. But in his pride, Uzziah went ahead, and God struck him with leprosy. God gave him the grace to humble him. Now, about the year that Uzziah died, God called Isaiah to be his spokesman. Uzziah's son was Jotham, and he was a good king and stayed faithful to God. And the 16 years he reigned were good years. Then his son Ahaz became king when he was 20 years old, and he ruled for 16 years. But though, Jotham was a good king. He wasn't so much a good father in directing his son's path, because Ahaz was a terrible king. He displaced God in the temple. He had some of his sons burned to death as sacrifices to Baal. and the people forgot all about caring for the weak and vulnerable among them. The God of Israel was not going to bless behavior like that, so he withheld his protection, and it wasn't long before they were invaded and humiliated. Isaiah confronted Ahaz and promised him God's grace and forgiveness if he would return to God. But instead, he made an alliance with the Assyrians, submitting Judah as a vassal state to the superpower of the day. Let us now return to our scripture, picking up at verse 10 and reading through 20. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They've become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Learn to do what is right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God. In this chapter, Isaiah tells us that God was deeply displeased by some of the actions of his people. And I believe that God's indignation and anger applies to so much of what goes on in our world too. Yet in our passage today, I also read wonderful words of hope. God is there to make this world right. He's spoken it out to us. Will we listen? Will we follow? So what does God have to complain about? Shouldn't God be happy with what we give him? If we follow the rules, isn't that enough? He gave us 10 commandments. If I keep 7 out of the 10, isn't that okay? I mean, that's 70%, a D minus, which is still a passing grade. Someone might say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I bring my offering. I'm extra careful to hit the special days like Christmas and Easter. Isn't that enough? And God shouts out to the heavens and the earth, no, it's not enough. Isaiah tells us how God sees us. He's not looking for rule following, although the rules are important. He's not looking for religiosity. He's not keeping a log of how many hours we spend in church, although what we do in church is important. He's looking for us to love him and to love one another. He had nurtured the people of Israel and taught them and protected them and disciplined them now for generations. And yet they were still rebelling against him. This isn't a matter of following rules or religious traditions. This is personal. This is family. Most of us who are parents have had at least a moment or two when our kids rebelled. Do you remember how it felt? Isaiah is opening a window into the heart of God for us to see how he feels when we rebel. And when God looks at America in the year 2019, is it any better? Can you hear the broken heart of our God? He's tired of the heavy load the people carry because of their sin. He's tired of hearts that are broken by the bullying, mean talk, injustice, and exploitation of the world. He's tired of the pain of his children who are trying to put their lives together in broken homes. He's tired of the pain of those whose lives were put into turmoil when someone else, filled with hate or desire for fame, decided to slaughter many. He's tired of the pain of those who are suffering self-inflicted medical problems today because they didn't take proper care of the wonderful bodies God gave them. He's tired of the pain of those whose lives have been shattered by war. He's tired of the pain of those who have ruined their lives and who are now trapped in prisons made of concrete, or prisons made of addictions, or prisons of hopelessness because they wasted opportunities. He's tired of the pain of people who are so hurting inside that they just react and push people away. Can you hear the heart of God coming out in Jesus when he called out in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Can you see our world through God's eyes? Do we dare? Isaiah dared to look and to listen and to care, and he decided or dared to share what he saw. In fact, he dared to preach it over and over for more than 50 years, even when people didn't want to hear it. And what remedy did God propose? Isaiah was clear that the answer was more than going to church, more than outward religion. God measures the heart. And when people did all the religious stuff while their hearts and weekly lives weren't right, he grew tired. Well, what does God want? It's clearly implied that he wants us to stop being rebellious children. He wants us to come home. This is the same God in the Old Testament who, in the New Testament parable, stood longing for his prodigal son to come home. Let's be family. He wants us to let him love us. And in verse 17, he wants us to love one another too. He wants us to do good for others, to seek justice, to rescue those who are oppressed, to defend the orphan, and to plead for the widow. And so in the last three verses, he lays out the deal. There's no vindictiveness in God. In verse 18, even if our sins are like scarlet, the brightest and most permanent dye you could get in the ancient world, even if our hearts are stained with the most fragrant and flagrant and stubborn sins, God reaches out to us to make us clean again, to make our hearts as white as snow. He offers forgiveness. He offers help to get our lives straightened out. And that's why he calls us together, so we can work together to become the people he designed us to be, to find our way home together, to do good for our neighbor as well as ourselves. If we come home, he'll bless us. If we're willing and obedient, he'll make life good. But for the people of Judah who were running away from God, who had used up God's second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances and so on, this was serious. In verse 20, Isaiah warns, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." They were very close to losing their national independence. The roots of a moral society were just about wiped out. They were on the precipice of disaster. And Isaiah told it to them straight. Where are we as a nation? We're still the strongest nation in the world, and life for us is awfully good. But Isaiah's warning stands for us today too. God won't bless a nation, or God won't bless a religion of going through the motions on the outside, but lacking a heart for God. And he's smart enough to know the difference. God won't tolerate a nation that ignores the call of its most vulnerable members. God makes his offer to every nation and to every one of us, one by one. He really loves us. And it breaks his heart when we don't open our hearts to him and love him and serve him completely. It breaks his heart to see us suffer the consequences of going away from him. And he's always calling us back home, home to healing, home to love. What can we do as individuals? I was thinking about this last night after I printed out my sermon. But what can we do? We can write to our government officials when things are happening or not happening that please or displease us. We can support causes like Voice of the Martyrs, who stand up for the voiceless who are being slaughtered in other countries. We can take a stand on moral issues. We can share our love of Christ with others so that they know the love and joy and peace that only he provides. Yes, I'm tired, but I know the one who gives me rest and sweet peace. I only need to open my heart to him, to love, to serve, and to trust him with every fiber of my being. For I am weary and heavy laden, yet when I go to him, he gives me peace. How about you? Let us pray. O Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the words of your prophet Isaiah heard so many years ago. And we pray, Lord, that we take them to heart, that we truly return to you with all of our hurts, all of our pain, all of our weariness, and we know that you will give us sweet rest. In Christ's perfect name. Amen.